pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FN Talk 106.5. We made it to Tuesday. Congratulations. Thank you for being with us. Text line would be in touch with the program, 251-34301-06. A lot to get to today. Please be polite if you can. But coming up on the program from the Alabama poll, Michael Lowry, we were just talking about that. You were listening on Mobile Mornings there. It's certainly right now an outlier, but being an outlier doesn't mean that poll is incorrect. We'll go through those poll numbers in just a moment, kind of give you an idea of set the table for what we're talking about here. She was a candidate for attorney general. She's asked for time on the program this morning, but she's the district attorney up in Blount County. She has since thrown her support to Jay Mitchell. But Pamela Casey will be with us in the 10 o'clock hour. And then 11 o'clock hour, John Wall, he is candidate for lieutenant governor, was a regular on this show for a few years as the Alabama Party Republican chairman. And he'll now a lieutenant gubernatorial candidate taking on Wes Allen in a Republican primary runoff. So we'll hear from him, get caught up, get his reaction to the polling here, and we can kind of walk through that. Well, since we're on the topic of the poll, I'll walk you through what the top line numbers say. There is a right now the Alabama poll finding that they got Jared Hudson up in this Senate race. Jared Hudson, 48.7, Barry Moore, 39.2, 12% undecided. That's not even within the margin of error. That's nearly a 10-point lead. Jared Hudson, who hasn't really, he didn't really show us anything in the primary to make us think, but the suggestion here is all of the Steve Marshall supporters have gone to Hudson. Now, remember this. Barry Moore always under polls. That's just what happens. His type of voter just doesn't respond to a survey. And because of that, the numbers are always a little off. And let's see. We will do this. We go back to the primary election. Barry Moore was at 39.2, Jared Hudson at 25.6, Steve Marshall at 24.5. If we go back to the last Alabama poll survey, he had Barry Moore. This was March 2026, so this would have been very dated. Let's see. He had Barry Moore at 22.8. Marshall at 20.7 and Hudson at 19, and Barry Moore almost doubled his number relative to this poll. But now, granted, the election was in May. This was a March poll, and that's what his data told him at the time. So in this poll, and I think in this survey, we can say with a degree of, I don't know, that Barry Moore under polls in this poll surveys. But that's what his figures tell him. Also, Lieutenant Governor, he's got Wes Allen up over John Wall, 41.9 to 38.4. But in his synopsis of the poll, he's still leaning toward John Wall, thinking that Wall will have the most reliable voters. We could look and see in his polling in March. If I can figure this out. Well, anyway, the primary, in the primary, we had, let's see, we had John Wall at 40.6 and West Allen at 30.8. So if we look at what it was in March, according to his poll, try to find it here. Well, I can't find his most latest lieutenant governor poll, but anyway, that race, Wall surprised everybody. He was polling in the 20s and got to 40%. So that's another lesson here. Is John Wall Barry Moore under poll? And I, you know, what is it? And there's a psychology here that we need to understand. The type of support that a lot of these guys who are favored by the pro Trump crowd tend to have people that don't respond to these surveys. And that's just been true throughout. That was true of Barry Moore ever since he ran for Congress in 2020. And maybe it's a cultural thing in the Wiregrass. I don't know. But those are two who underpoll, for sure. And then AG, the other one that's very prominent on our mind. Let's see. Robertson leads Mitchell 49.1 to 31.2. Just for comparison's sake, that's 40% for Catherine Robertson and 34% for Jay Mitchell, 25% for our guest Pam Casey coming up in the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. Let's see, we got one other one, Ag Commissioner Corey Hill leading Christina McInnes 33-27, and that's close to the margin of error, 39% undecided. So that was probably a coin flip at this point. I do think the McInnes will spend money and maybe do well there, but we'll see. 251-343-0106. Almost immediately after they put out this poll. And there's a lot of discussion about there's not a lot of great polling right now in Alabama. It's a hard state to poll because you never can really capture the essence of, like, where the enthusiasm lies. It all varies TV market to TV market. So, for example, you know, one cycle, the Birmingham market will really show up more than the Mobile market. And they'll spend more money in that market. Our Huntsville will show up because you have a Huntsville candidate. The science really hasn't perfected itself. And the other thing is, and this has been true, so, like, for example, in Iowa, they have the Des Moines Register. And the Des Moines Register has this one lady who's been polling, and now she didn't get it too good in 24. But she knows the state, and she knows, kind of has an idea of where the votes are. You don't have this, like, consistent, like, year after year after year. It seems kind of fly by night. Now, you have Signal, Brett Buchanan's polling firm who does a lot of the polling, but I haven't seen a Signal poll since the very, very early stages. And Buchanan used to be based in Montgomery's DC now, but he was a Montgomery guy. And you always, they were kind of for a while, the gold standard of Alabama polls. Before that, I think you had, like, as far as media polls go, do y'all remember the old USA Press Register poll and Keith Nichols? I mean, you just had people who just did it so many times that they kind of knew. Now, the Alabama poll has been around a long time, but it's changed hands. And different people have owned it, and they have different methodologies. But all of this polling, no one really can explain the voter behavior or could predict it. And so when you do a poll, well, you divide the state up. Generally what they do is they divide it into media markets. And you conduct these surveys for the sake of, well, where should I spend my ad dollars? Where, what TV channel? Should I spend it on WKRG or ABC 3340 or WAFF or whatever? You know, you go around the state. This is very expensive to go up on TV. That's sort of the gold standard. Well, it used to be. I think that's changed. And for years, I always thought that they overpolled Birmingham. That they never, that they always discounted Mobile. And they would tell you, well, the Mobile market shares it with Pensacola. Pensacola's in Florida. They don't really vote. And candidates would kind of shape their strategy. They would spend all their time in Birmingham and then come down to Mobile for the day and do three radio interviews and a pancake breakfast and then go back to Birmingham. But that's the way they do it. And then they never gotten it down to that exact science of who's going to show up. Probably the best way to do it, maybe by congressional districts, and you could kind of take pieces of different markets, but that's, I guess, difficult for pollsters. Anyway, 251-343-0106. Jared Hudson up 9 points over Barry Moore. Are you buying it? And then, as I said, Wes Allen with a slight lead over John Wall, 3.5 points, but the pollster here still picking John Wall to win. And then one more time, Catherine Roberts set up over Jay Mitchell by 18 points. And finally, Corey Hill up over Christina McKinnis, 33-27. Hill with the alpha endorsement, that may help him. But McGinnis, I think, has a bigger bank account right now. Will she somebody go up on TV? Does that even really land? If somebody goes up on TV for an ad commissioner race and you see it, oh, ad commissioner, remind me to go in this direction on June 16th. So we're almost to that, I guess we're within that 2-week window. It came up in a hurry, didn't it? 2 weeks from today, are you going to vote? Because what happens, voter turnout drops dramatically in these runoffs. Maybe it's a lot of times the candidate you like is not in it, so I'm not going to bother with that. But it's a couple of things here. It's a very low turnout game, and with the underpolling in this survey, as I say, in a low turnout event, it's less about percentages. So like an eye-popping 9% may not matter, because it's just about raw votes. You're not playing the percentage game. You're playing the raw vote total game. The percentages aren't as meaningful as they are in the primary in these surveys, I believe. 251-343-0106. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-01. 06, hit us up on the text line. You see this with Donald Trump and Netanyahu leaked out. So they wanted it out there. This phone call, few F-bombs directed at Netanyahu. See that? So there's trouble in paradise here. I don't know. I do honestly think the administration is trying to, in good faith, try to broker some kind of peace with Iran. And it's not just like this miscommunication. There's something going on there. But that's a change in messaging. Because I imagine these sort of conversations between Bibi and Trump have been going like this whole time. Jeff was touched with news yesterday. It's a Supreme Court decision come through. Not that I'm aware of. I anticipate that any moment. Mommy issues. Never takes a day off, does he? Questions, are Republicans aware with Virginia signing on to the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact? No one cares. Unnamed texter. Jared spending no significant money right now. Not on TV and the Mobile DMA at all. Lost everything but the DMA in the primary. I'm sorry, I'm not buying this. I want to see waiting at the different DMAs. Yeah, but I think it's kind of a fool's errand for him to try to win down here. I think his path is just running up the score in Birmingham. Maybe Huntsville. The question, and Sam Roberts and I talked about this, how strong is Barry Moore's support in North Alabama? Because Barry Moore in North Alabama outperformed all expectations. I mean, he won with bigger than expected margins in the Shoals. Just the like mirror opposite of the part of the state where you expected him to do well. He did well in Huntsville. He did do as well in Marshall County, but that was to be expected because that was Steve Marshall's home turf. So what is it? I think the Huntsville vote, maybe it's, you're not expecting as many Republicans as what we thought because of the Democrat turnout. I'm telling you, this will be a low turnout event. And these percentages are irrelevant, but not as relevant anywhere else. Tim, Jeff, I'm voting against the church pew salesman. Well, you made that clear, Tim. Who are you going to vote for, if I may ask? Ella, have you seen where Christine's getting your funding? If you haven't, check out the Neighbor Donors and then Google them. It'll tell you a lot. I guess this is she's getting money from Big Marijuana or something. She's also, if I'm not mistaken, independently wealthy. Unnamed texter, most states have done away with the runoff. It's time for Alabama to get rid of it as well. It's a giant waste of money to print ballots for 5% voter turnout. Interesting. I don't know. The jungle primary, though, I could go either way on that. I don't know that if you have a three-way race and say it's like 32, 32, 34, and you need, just for the sake of certainty, just for the sake of democracy, that you go with a runoff, and if people choose not to come out and vote, then they're exercising their right. Mommy issues about to, I'm just going to start ignoring your text. Here's the deal, mommy issues. Look, I have the microphone and you don't. Mike, do you think the angel with the endorsement will help more? I kind of doubt it will have much of an effect. I think it adds some credibility more, maybe, as far as donors go. I think it's a good gesture. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Town Square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.
Your school.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. You want to get involved with the program, 251-343-0106. That's just hit me up on that text line. Except for you, mommy issues, don't even bother. Still come on the program, Pam Casey. That's in about an hour. She asked for time on the program today, so we're going to give it to her. And then finally, John Wall, running for lieutenant governor in the 11 o'clock hour. So please stick around for that. Joining us now, we've been talking a lot about it, the Alabama poll. Did it on the morning show as well. But Michael Lowry, he's the owner of the poll, the brains behind the poll, let's say. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff, but reading some of the comments online, I'm not sure that folks would believe I've got brains in this thing.
Well, they'll be all right. They'll figure it out. don't shed a tear for them or over them. Hey, well, let's get right into it here. And I mean, this poll, it is very different from what we've seen thus far. Now, we're at the halfway point of the runoff cycle here, but walk us through it.
Yeah, and let me start out by saying that I don't have any axe to grind in any of this. You know, I don't work for candidates. I don't work for outside groups. This poll, the way I do it is I get companies to come in, pool their money, and then I put together a poll. They don't do it. I do it. And we look at the results to see where things might be headed. So, the results in this one were a little bit surprising because I had a feeling that Jared Hudson was going to be close to Congressman Moore in that particular race, but I didn't expect it to be quite the margin that it was, you know. And then when you get down to the lieutenant governor's race, Wes Allen has the lead, which I've called the headline lead, but I think John Wall actually is leading that race. And we can talk about that a little bit. And then, of course, Katherine Robertson has a big lead in the attorney general's race, the biggest of any of the four. And I think your agriculture race is just a straight toss-up. You know, it's a down-ballot race. People don't necessarily know who the candidates are. And, you know, those two are pretty close together. So, you know, it's a little bit all over the place at this point.
Well, tell me now, because this has always been my sort of approach to these low turnout runoffs. Percentages matter, but the percentage, if you're looking at this poll and you're comparing it to like where we were say a month ago, that it's more raw vote totals is probably where the focus lies, because it's harder to predict a low turnout event.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what we're really asking folks is, you know, how likely are you to vote? And so we only screen in people that say they are definitely voting or most likely voting, you know, and at the end of the day, you have to trust people to an extent. You know, I think what we're going to see in this runoff, you know, in 2 weeks roughly, is that there are really two electorates that are out there. I'm calling one of them the endorsement ticket, you know, and that's going to be the voters that are supporting Congressman Barry Moore and John Wall. And I think what those voters are going to look like is they're your strongest Trump loyalists. They're voters 65 and older. They live in the Dothan and Mobile media markets. They tend to be evangelical voters. And they're the ones that turn out most frequently. So, you know, and then you've got the independent ticket. And those are going to be folks that are voting for Hudson and Allen. And they're policy conservatives who look at Trump and like his policies, but not necessarily him personally. They're voters under 65. They tend to be up in North Alabama, Birmingham, Huntsville, non-evangelicals, and they don't show up as much. So earlier when I mentioned that, you know, I thought that even though Wes Allen has the statistical lead, I would favor John Wall in that race. It's because among the voters that say, you know, have voted 3 out of 3 in the last primary elections, John Wall actually carries about a 3-point lead among those voters. So, you know, it's a pretty obvious thing to say, but your winner is going to be the person that gets their voters to the poll.
Well, I would also ask you on this, that I think with Barry Moore and John Wall, they underpoll. They just do. And I mean, can you account for that? Or is that built in? Like, talk about that.
Well, John is a little bit of a different case, in my opinion, because he entered the race, as far as my polling was concerned, I think this is only about the second time that I've polled John. You know, so it's possible that he could be, but I think that we're pretty accurate with it. I mean, you're seeing consistent growth in what he's doing. So I think that the more time he has, the better off he is. The reason I separate Congressman Moore is because I've been polling his numbers since last August. So I've done 5 statewide polls over that period of time, and his numbers have stayed consistently low. You know, the 39% that he hits in this poll is the high watermark that he's hit in anything that I've done. You know, at one point he was at 16%. Then he went up to, I want to say, 19. And then
you dropped there, Mike.
The problem that I've got with what Congressman Moore's campaign has done is,
I think you, your speakerphone or something disconnected.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me again?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Okay, I apologize. The what I was saying was Congressman Moore, his numbers have remained consistent, and I think my fear for his campaign is that with all the money that
we should be seeing a much higher surge than what he's had. So there's a disconnect between his campaign, you know, however you want to phrase that, and the voters.
We're still still got some technical difficulties here, Mike.
I'm sorry. I'm back, Jeff.
All right. Well, let me just pick it up from here because we saw these numbers for Barry Moore all throughout this cycle. Then on election day, he's pushing 40%, and he's got had a 14, 15 point advantage over Hudson when the votes were counted. That was kind of a discrepancy from a lot of the polling we had seen up until that point.
Yes and no, I would say. I mean, the numbers weren't quite there, but remember, he got 39% in the first election there. So that means 61% voted against him. You know, if I'm a campaign manager, I really don't want to be in that lead position because in a way, you've kind of hit your high watermark. Now, you're going to get some more votes based off of, you know, candidates had dropped out and their voters have to go somewhere. But you've kind of seen what people think of you at that point. Whereas if you're the number two guy, well, now all of a sudden, you know, people that voted in this case for Steve Marshall may have looked at it and said, well, I don't like Barry Moore, so I'm not going to vote for him. Who else is out there? And so that's where I think that you see, you know,
so you
some of the lack
was,
of votes.
Yeah, like a vote. It was for Barry Moore or not for Barry Moore, essentially.
Yeah, and it's not just Barry Moore. That's the way I would classify any race that goes into a runoff like that, you know. Unless you're talking about a 6-person field or something where it's just almost impossible to get to 50%. But in general, I would want to be in that second position heading into a runoff.
Well, then that's a little different from the AG's race where Catherine won with the plurality and Jay Mitchell, I mean, he's 6 points back, but now what's the different dynamic in that race then?
You know, I think it was the two campaigns that were run there. I was never a fan of the advertising that Jay Mitchell did. You know, I never saw a reason to vote for him. You know, and that's me speaking personally. Everybody obviously draws their own conclusions from these things. But I think that as an advisor, what I want to see a candidate do is tell their story, be authentic, and try their best to connect with voters on a level that the voters want to be talked to. And I just think Catherine did a better job of that in the initial part of the race. And that's why she's got the advantage she has now.
Because now they, you know, the Pam Casey voter and who had a good showing, I thought, 100,000 plus votes. What are they looking for? Like, what are you trying? You're trying to win over that vote. What are you looking at?
It's hard to say, Jeff, because, you know, really in an attorney general's race, what are the top issues? I mean, I can tell you overall in Alabama, it's economic. So, you know, if I were advising either campaign at this point, I would, and this is going to be a really dirty way of saying it, but I'd want to be the state's chief legal officer, tort reform officer, you know, or chief trial lawyer. Let me put it that way. You know, I want to be the guy that's out there protecting consumers from the rising costs, you know, that companies are building into things, you know, with you know, President Trump, for example, with the tariffs, when the courts ruled that he had to return the tariff money, I wouldn't have given it back to the companies because, you know, the consumer's never going to see that money. There's no way a company's lowering their prices that they raised because of tariffs. You know, so in Alabama, if you use that example, become the champion that takes that tariff money and gives it back to the people. I mean, that's what I'd be trying to do in that attorney general's race.
And then the ag commissioner race, and I don't know what to make of that. I mean, it was a three-way race. I don't think anybody really like showed that they were head and shoulders above anybody else. And now you have a block of voters, Jack Williams voters who are up for grabs. But then you got this, I think, especially at this point in the middle of a runoff, a lot of undecideds.
Yeah, I think it was, what, 39% is what we put out, and that is really high. But, you know, you think about it, that's not a high-profile race, typically. There's not a lot of money spent into it, so people just don't know who those candidates are. So this is really where a good campaign, a good grassroots network, you know, a good organization throughout the state can push someone to victory. So I think that one's going to come down to just who's the best campaigner, who's got the best campaign. And, you know, that goes back. That's almost the old timey politics is what we're going to see in that race. You know, who can do the best job?
Joined by Michael Lowry, he is of the Alabama Poll. Aside from this horse race stuff and this runoff, and coming out of 2 weeks ago, Democrat turnout, and looking toward the general election, and I was a little stunned. Madison County, the way it did, Montgomery, not as surprised, but Democrats, are they if they could keep this level of enthusiasm or some resemblance of it, they ought to do okay relative to their historic precedent in November, it seems like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the margins should be much tighter. You know, if traditionally something, you know, a race was 15 points, you know, Republican to Democrat, you know, maybe they cut it to 8 this time. I don't see them winning, but you know, they're certainly in the Huntsville area. There's a lot of newcomers coming in. That economy is just skyrocketing. So you're going to have new voters that are going to change the dynamics there. But Republicans shouldn't be sleeping through this thing. They need to, you know, they need to go back to blocking and tackling. They need to get back to the basics of what a campaign is and what it should be doing and making sure that they're making the case to voters why they deserve the jobs.
Well, that AL2 race, and we're kind of winding down on this, Brett Marcus right now is the favorite to win the Republican nod. Shamari Figure's running unopposed. He's an incumbent, can raise a lot of money as an incumbent. You know the game. That one's not one to sleep on. I feel like you have what now Figures is a Montgomery guy, and we know how Alabama politics can be with the Joe Reed machine. If he can win that over, I mean, that one to me is, you know, aside from maybe a Senate race in the Huntsville area, but in the Wiregrass and the Montgomery market, we've seen this before. Bobby Bright, Jay Love in 2008 when Obama was on the ballot. I mean, I that one to me makes me think, you know, Republicans got to be on their game in November.
Jeff, just stabbed me in the heart since I ran Jay Love's campaign that year. You're absolutely right. I mean, we lost that race by 1,500 votes because of the Obama turnout. Democrats are definitely going to be enthused, but I think that the advantage, if Rhett does wind up winning that primary, you know, if Rhett Marcus is the candidate, the advantage that he has is it's that Katie Britt's been all in for him. You know, I think in this latest poll, President Trump's endorsement numbers are at 40% and Senator Britt's around 39%. So she's on a par right there with the president. And I think that, you know, she has invested the time in Rhett Marcus and she's going to want him to win. So I think that her help will help make sure that seat stays Republican and Rhett's your next congressman there.
But do you think it's sort of like what Dobbs was 4 years ago in that midterm cycle? This Louisiana case, I think, is, you know, you already have the Trump kind of anti-Trump derangement syndrome or whatever you want to call it, phenomenon that's really getting Democrats out to vote. And I think you put that, and this is what we saw 2 weeks ago, was that on top of the Louisiana case really drove Democrats to the polls. Does that last until November?
You know, I think so. Angry voters are motivated. I mean, you know, and the thing is, you know, from personal experience, being around some of those anti-Trump people up here in Northern Virginia, they stay angry, man. You know, there's no let up in them. You know, they keep an energy that I don't know how they do it. So, yeah, I would expect them to keep that up. But, you know, really, at the end of the day, with all of this, it's numbers. Who's going to have the numbers? And Democrats in the state of Alabama right now just don't have the numbers to make the impact that they would like to have.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. Hey, Mike, folks want to find out more about your poll. Where can they go?
They can visit alabamapoll.com, Jeff. And as always, I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, next time I'll make sure I got my headbuds fully charged.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Take care.
All right, Michael Lowry with the Alabama Poll there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Hello, Kansas. Sweet Bill Plummer, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Derek writes, democracy. Ultra runner, using Dr. Bill's two-point weather skill, how skating will SCOTUS SmackDown be tonight? Do they send a message or just a ruling? I mean, I got to think they're going to. I don't think they are will be as petty as the lower court ultra runner. I mean, I do think the verbiage you'll see out of the Supreme Court will be much more professional. Keith, I think that Iran sees Israel as our proxy army, sort of like Hezbollah is theirs. I don't think we will ever get a deal until Israel stops. Although they hate us, they really hate Israel. Jay said, good morning, Jeff. When I heard the Netanyahu story, I knew it made Mike's day. The up and downs of BB seem to control his world. Yeah, I just, I think we got to like pump the brakes on I think Israel's acting in its best interest. Are they necessarily engaging in a land grab? Or do they really see this as an opportunity to try to eradicate a threat? Because they do live under the threat of a terror attack on a daily basis. Let's see. Tim. Jeff, I'm going to have to talk to Sean the next time I see him and get you back in the main studio that the Fair Up Bureau is having all those audio problems. Hey, well, Tim, you try that. But on the other hand, I don't think that's going to work. Named Texter, I'm just going to wait. Consistent, successful pollster to put something out. Signal Remington somebody. And Michael stupid comment means 75% of the voters voted against Hudson. He made a name ID statewide, so he was a known commodity. Yeah, I don't know how I believe that this poll is done in the proper scientific way. I really do. I think that they put a good faith effort into it. but I don't know that the science, the methodology was quite there where it needed to be. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.